And welcome to Say Less, Say More, the trio you didn't know that you needed. We here for you. We got the best in entertainment, sports, wrestling, everything you need right here. I got the gang with me, and I go by the name of 2-5. And we got the one and only San Francisco 49er fan in the world with all the 49er hats. He is El Residente. And then we got Jackie Reigns, and I think he called himself Ringo Mandingo and some other things like that.
Come on, man. You already know what it is, man. Jackie Reigns, Ringo Mandingo, Swaggy J, Jack Uso.
Let's get all that, y'all. And all y'all out there, give me a no yeet. You know what I'm saying? Like, review, and subscribe. We are here for you. We're going to start this off tonight with a little Nicki versus Cardi.
Let's go.
We're going to take it from there. So just ride with us.
All right, first,
we're going to check in. You know what I'm saying? What's going on in your guys' life? What the people need to know? You know what I'm saying? Start us off, Jack. What's popping in your world?
Good things popping, man. I just want to give a shout out to my man, Jey Uso. What's up, man? Big dog. Got to eat. Little puppy on the porch. Anyway, my week's been pretty good, man. I'm tired. You know what I'm saying? Got a big day coming up soon. If you know, you know. But outside of that, man, I'm tired. I'm stressed out. You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers get on my nerves. Nope. People getting on my nerves. Because we're trying to do better. You know, trying to be a better people, better person, better vibe.
Okay. I don't know what you got, Riz.
Listen. It's a good week. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to make some things happen. Lots going on at work. Very, very busy there trying to prepare for this big engagement we got coming up in Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm coming to you, Little Rock, Arkansas. But I'm really, you know, working really hard on that and just pushing towards it. Everything else has been working on this pod, Pursuit of Forever. We had a new episode last night. Me and my wife recorded. We talked about raising your kids with grace. You know, as your kids get older and they start making mistakes and stuff like that, you know, how do you continue to love them and support them even when they, you know, aren't doing their best, living up to their potential? How do you continue to parent and continue to show, you know, that unconditional love? So if you haven't checked it out, make sure you go to our Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Pursuit of Forever. Shout out to my wife, LaToya. Yeah.
For sure. And of course, you know, I've been doing my sports reports assorted thing, you know, over on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and all the things. You know, we got tomorrow coming up, picks and more picks, yeah. College football and NFL. And then today, you know, I actually became a sort of sports writer.
Okay.
You know, dropped that article on Chop Chat through FanSided. So, you know, check that out.
Come on, man. Come on, Stephen A.
You know, Come on, man. Got all that now, but don't I got integrity. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's what's going on over here down in the Alamo.
Yep.
Well, but the street said,
what did they say?
There's some beef going on. And Jack said he going to inform us.
Come on, man. Nicki versus Cardi, man. You already know what it is.
Okay, talk about it.
Everybody's seen the foolishness, man. It's been crazy. It's been super crazy, all right? First, you had Cardi come out with a fire album that everybody doubted. You know what I'm saying? And, of course, we know Cocaine Nick. She got to come out the woodwork when Cardi get any type of love because Nicki can't stand seeing another woman do anything good. She's not a girl's girl. But somehow, we got Barbs out here who still don't see the Looney Tune. And it's okay. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has a crazy, you know, cartoon character that they like. And I guess Onika Mirage is some of y'all's. Either way, what happened was, like I said, Cardi dropped the album. Album's doing great. People are talking about it. And Nicki was like, they're not talking about me enough. Rants. Let's just rant about shit. And then what did she start doing? She started talking shit about first week sales. Nobody mentioned Nicki. Then she decided to listen to the fans and say that Cardi was dissing her. Cardi already said that she was not dissing Nicki on there. Even if she was, it was a super sub. So you had to pick up on that. But either way, it was cool. They was going at each other. Regular shit. You know, bitch. Then, all of a sudden, your kids is ugly. It's like, oh,
is ugly was the wait a minute pivot. I've
why are we talking
heard.
About kids? What are we doing here?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And look, this is kind of like the Drake and Kendrick thing, right? Like Drake and Kendrick, they was cool. It was words, rap. Oh, by the way, your wife. By the way, your sons. By the way, your daughter. Like, whoa, Drake, you're overstepping. And now Kendrick got to come out here and tell everybody you like kids. Not like a daddy, though. Anyway, so Cardi got mad because Nicki said she was going to kick her daughter's teeth in. So at that point, Cardi said, it's up. I'm going to see you when I see you outside. I know where you at. I be in the streets, yada, yada, yada. Then they just kept digging. So Nicki Minaj is calling her Barney and Barney B and BV. You got HPV. You're a hoe. You be fucking niggas when you're pregnant and yada, yada, yada. And then Cardi was telling Nicki, like, you're a co-kid and your husband likes little kids. And
yeah, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, your husband touches little kids.
That's crazy.
No,
her husband and her brother. That's the craziest part. Like, how are you associated with not one but two? And if you want to throw Drake in there, you're associated with three. You pedophile. That is crazy.
Like, I think what got me was like, yo, you trying to fight a pregnant girl? Nah, my sister will come see you.
Yeah. Hey, and I mean, hey, that's what sisters are for.
And Nicki was like, yo, Charlamagne, what color's your thing?
Oh, I forgot about that. Well, the Breakfast Club started talking about it. And then Nicki didn't like the fact that the Breakfast Club didn't pick a side. So then, of course, she had to go and Charlamagne's gay and he bleaches his meat. And then he tried to say that. Then she threw a stray at Lauren, who doesn't do anything but literally report news.
Yeah, yeah, she's more right? TMZ too. TMZ as well.
Yeah, she attacked TMZ, but it's TMZ. Everybody gets mad at them. And then she got at Jess. She said Jess had testicles. I love Jess, though, because Jess is funny. She said, I sure do. I got big ones, and I dragged them motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love Jess, though. And then the music. So the Nicki Cardi episode that we're on right now, I would say this is episode 3. I say episode 1 was the fan one, where they made it up and made them beef. And then they did Motorsport. Episode 2 was the Met Gala when they actually threw hands. And then episode 3 is here where Nicki is so insecure that
they actually threw hands?
Any woman. Well, they attempted.
I thought somebody threw a shoe.
Yeah, but we don't know what the real scuffle was, but apparently they were close enough. So I say they threw hands. You know,
well, you know, a couple of months ago, Cardi beat up the girl at the airport with a radio.
Yeah, Cardi funny as hell. Oh, Cardi threw a microphone at somebody once too. That shit was funny.
Yeah.
She like, and she had perfect aim.
Cardi is a menace to society.
Drama?
So let me ask you this. Because like we talked about the Kendrick Drake thing. My question is like, are we gonna get music out of this, or is it just gonna be bickering on the internet?
So Nicki already said that the album is dropping in March. That was one of her like earlier tweets too. So when they first started going at it or whatever, and the Barney B thing happened, then she was like, okay, don't interrupt the writer when they got their pen, yada, 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 album dropping in March. And then she threw shade at Jay-Z. And, you know, Nicki just hates everybody.
Always Jay-Z. Jay-Z always had to find a way.
Or was it Rico Nation?
I don't know, bro. At this point, I sincerely want to know, like, what the fuck is wrong with Nicki Minaj where she, like, doesn't acknowledge other women, or why does she feel so intimidated by anybody doing anything? Like, you're still the GOAT rapper. Like, everybody still calls you the greatest female rapper. Everybody still puts you at the top. You're still the queen and all this other stuff. And yet and still, she hates on everybody, bro. And then Cardi was like, you know, you need to be going at your contemporaries. You know, I'm 10 years younger than you, so I'm not really in your stratosphere. You need to be going with Drake and Taylor Swift and everybody that came out with you, which I don't have a problem with it. But Charlamagne was like, you know, Cardi can't say that because they're both here together. And I'm like, both points could be true. But I don't think I definitely think it's gone too far. I think Nicki Minaj is an idiot. But we've seen that with Meg. You're making fun of a girl's mom who's dead. So we already know that Nicki Minaj doesn't have the greatest rationale. She also married a pedophile.
I'd rather there be no music if she's going to make something like Bigfoot.
I don't ever want Nicki Minaj to beef with anybody musically again because she's ass.
But allegedly, right before we started recording, you know, I saw that allegedly Ack, you know, leaked the JT diss to Cardi.
What we're not going to do is we're not going to entertain JT. She got stomped out already. You lost. You're not better. You lost. We're not going to do that. So even if
she got stomped by somebody?
If Ack, yeah, Cardi.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Cardi dissed the shit out of her and Bia.
Oh, I thought you meant like actually like physically stomped her out.
No. Her Bia and JT got like all the work on Cardi's album.
Yeah.
So JT and Bia don't need to talk. They need to go.
I need Bia to come back because she might be the best rapper out of them.
Cut it out. Did you hear Bia? You hear
her talking about bars? Forget all that other stuff. I'm just talking about bars.
Did you hear the diss to Cardi?
No, the diss was terrible. But I'm just saying, like. Yeah, I'm just saying on a general basis, Bia to me is the best rapper out of them, all of them.
Nah, that's the New York bias that you got. You just like
she's from Boston.
Yeah, but she's up north, and you like that. You just like her swag when she.
I rapping. Hate New York.
So just to close this out. So again, Drake, Kendrick, it was a great beef because yeah, they didn't like each other, and it was obvious. But some great songs came out of that. I just don't see, my thing is that I don't see great music coming out of this. I just see people bickering on the internet. And I also see a place where this goes really far left and stuff becomes a thing where both of them are already affiliated in the way that they are. You know what I mean? I don't want to talk about, you know, saying this ain't the, you know, Vlad podcast or anything like that. So I'm not going to, you know, but we know they're both affiliated. They both say, you know, they sort of rep certain things. And that could come into play as well. So. You know, I'm just hoping that, you know, cooler heads prevail. Somebody take them into a room and have a conversation. But it doesn't seem like Nicki can be reasoned with right now. And I think that it's a small sign of a much larger issue. And this is just the beginning of something really bad unless somebody stops it. So I hope to see a change, man.
I think that, unfortunately, women have less impulse control than men, unfortunately. Especially when it comes to like kids and personal stuff like that, and they start getting their emotions all involved, especially when you're talking about somebody that's like a cokehead like Nicki. So I do think that this is going to go too far. I do think that Cardi really is going to step outside and try to figure out where this lady's at because she disrespected her kids. I do think it's something that, unfortunately, it probably can turn into something like really terrible. Cardi did say she doesn't want to risk losing her sponsorships and yada yada yada. She got a lot to lose, but at the end of the day, you talk about my daughter, I'm gonna punch you in your shit. So
right. I just want to know how Dez Bryant feels about all this.
I feel you.
You know what I'm saying? So anyway, you Speaking know so so you know, as we say less, you know, we get into a little bit of sports here.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, here comes those two words, y'all. Jack. Trigger warning. So, Shador Sanders, you know, every time I turn around, they're putting a microphone in his face. And then they're getting upset about the things that he says. Then they get upset about the things that he doesn't say. They get upset about how he says it. Then, you know, he can't say it right. And then you got people like Rex Ryan, who allegedly are talking to people within the building that are telling him, hey, this guy ain't even working. He's unprepared, X, Y, Z. And then people all around just keep saying, why y'all keep talking to this dude? And I know the answer to the question. Because y'all keep watching.
True.
Because y'all keep clicking on it.
It's true.
That's why. You know, and so now Dylan Gabriel's about to get the start. Unfortunately for him, he's playing against a Brian Flores defense, so we'll see how long that goes. But then they came out and said, hey, Flacco is the backup, not Shador. And that caused a whole ball of things. So where are we on Shador Sanders right now?
I'll tell you where we're at. He's a third-string quarterback. Can we stop talking about him? He does not play football. We don't care.
Didn't you just hear the part I said about the clicks and – come on. Yeah.
So one – all right, so – people keep talking about him because there continues to be opportunities to talk about him, right? So, one, the media continues to interview him. What third-string quarterback is getting interviewed by the media weekly, right? But the other part of it is Shador refuses to play the smart QB game, right? I got you. To play the smart QB game where it's, even if I don't do the right – even if I'm not playing or winning, I'm at least saying the right stuff that makes me seem like I'm a team player. He doesn't seem to have the ability to do that. In most situations, you have somebody that'll say, you know, you talk to this QB. Hey, how do you feel about it? Well, you know, this guy's a starter right now. You know, we're going to do everything we can to prepare to be, you know, to be the best team we can, you know, against this upcoming team and win this game. But he refuses to just say the right thing. Like, and I don't know. I think that's a sign, again, a sort of, I'm going to sound like a broken record. I think it's a sign of things that are problematic within this young man. Like, you, at some point, at what point does the team matter? Like, outside of you as an individual, I get that you're Deion Sanders' son. It's the same issue we had with the draft. You didn't understand the fact that, oh, you are a player who is hoping to be drafted by an NFL franchise. That means you go to interviews. That means you prepare. That means you make yourself ready. So now you put yourself in a situation where, for whatever reason y'all may think that it may be, he didn't get drafted until the fifth round, and now you got to play your part. But even this isn't allowing him to like, what I hoped would happen was he would eat that humble pie, and then he'd come back and show how great he is. But he didn't. He's still doing the same stuff that got him in trouble in the first place. And if I'm the owner of the team, or if I'm the coach of the team, I don't like this stuff at all. I don't like any of the antics. And I think it's going to end up hurting him even further. And it's going to be up to a point where he won't get to start, even if Dylan Gabriel isn't playing well. Why? Because you won't shut your mouth.
Well, some of it I think is a little unfair, too, because, you know, in the beginning at least, you know, a lot of the stuff that we were hearing, it was actually Deion talking. Yeah. You know, it wasn't Shador saying these things. You know, Deion was the one saying, hey, we don't want to go to Cleveland or nowhere cold and all that kind of stuff. But Shador got the blame for that. So then, you know, once we get to the draft and everything, you know, he came out with the legendary brand and all that kind of stuff. And then it went to, well, hey, like, I got to make the most of this opportunity, X, Y, Z. He was saying the right things. But then the problem was, is that they started scrutinizing everything that he was saying to turn it negative to fit their narrative of what he is. So I don't know how much of this is actually Shador versus what they're portraying Shador to be.
I don't know, bro. It's just, like I said, I'm completely drained of the Shador talk. I don't like the fact that we're talking about this nigga. He's a third-string quarterback, and we only care because he's Deion's son. It's nothing else. It's literally nothing else.
He was a Heisman Trophy finalist. It's not like he was a, like, this ain't Bronny where, you know, we were looking around and seeing like rare, like, you know, highlights of him.
So
and
then, I want to be honest with me, because you are a sports guy, especially when it comes to college football. What did Shador Sanders do in college that was spectacular?
He was one of the best, you know, completion percentage guys. You know, he had great touch on the deep ball. You know, he played on very – well, I ain't going to say very bad, but he didn't play on the best teams, and they were in a lot of positions that they were in to do good things because of him. You know, I think that if his name was something else, you know, like a lot of the people that are detractors of him would be like, I would love to have that quarterback on my team. So I think it works both ways. You know what I mean? The only problem that I have with him as far as that goes is that he holds on to the ball too long. But you could say that about a lot of young quarterbacks.
Right.
You know, so I think and that's my issue with the whole situation is that, like I said, I don't know how much of it is Shador and how much of it is the media portraying him a certain way. Because, okay. You know, because like, you know, I want my quarterback to say, I'm the man. Like, you know, you look at guys, and granted, these guys have accomplished.
You don't want your third-string quarterback saying, I'm the man.
No, obviously not the third-string. But I'm just saying in general, like, you know, like you got people like Aaron Rodgers, for example, that shows up his teammates, you know, makes ugly faces at them when they screw up or whatever. You got Peyton Manning calling his kicker drunk and all this kind of stuff like that. And we didn't come up with this whole narrative of, oh, they're not team players and they're not this. We were like, I mean, he kind of right, though. You know, whereas with Shador, like I said, this was Deion talking. And we're like, oh, I don't want to deal with Shador.
But, I mean, and that's the biggest problem, though, because at the same time, you got to expect Deion to know proper etiquette, too. Like, bro, I think Deion understands it now. But I think that even before, he should have knew, like, bro, you got to dial it back a little bit. Because
I don't think Deion thought that something like this would happen as far as how low.
Of course not. That's the whole point. Like, you didn't even think like, oh man, people are gonna bro.
I don't believe there were football reasons. I'm not saying it's a conspiracy. I'm not saying that the league did something, you know, unsavory, but I don't think that the smartest people can make logical football arguments to say why he fell that low in the draft. So the attitude had to have something to do with it.
He didn't fall for football reasons.
No, it wasn't football reasons. It was only attitude.
But it comes
it was the fact that earlier. He felt like he was too good.
The dude had a room in his house designed to say legendary for draft day. The dude refused to prepare for. He should be in New York.
He should.
He Jackson Dart starting this week. He should be in that spot.
He should
or he should
be in Pittsburgh.
No, he should have definitely been in Pittsburgh. He should have definitely been in Pittsburgh.
He should be in New Orleans.
He should definitely be in New Orleans.
He should be in a ton of places and not Cleveland. His mouth is why he's there, and he has not learned the lesson that got him there.
Yeah, because that whole mime thing that he did, I was like, bro, that's not a good look.
Well, I wonder if Cleveland didn't take him. If he would have got drafted,
that's the question. So no, he would have got drafted at some point. The question, so
they would have had to draft him just because of the name. Somebody would have took him because they want attention. Whoever it would have been, if it wasn't Cleveland, it would have.
I think that's why a lot of teams didn't take him, because they don't want the attention.
So again, back to the point you made earlier, 2-5, which you want your quarterback to think that he should be the starting quarterback. You don't want your third string quarterback saying he should be the starting quarterback.
Right.
Yeah, he was out of bounds when he made the comment about, I've seen the quarterback play or whatever he said. Right. Like, that was where, like, yeah, he was definitely wrong for that. The rest of it, I think, is overreaction and media portrayal.
Let me ask you this. Who's the third string quarterback in Tennessee?
I have no idea.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I have no idea.
If that person would have done the media would have came to that person and said, hey, how do you feel about Cam Ward's play? And then said, yeah, I've seen the quarterbacks play. I think I should be the starter. We would fry this person.
Well, he didn't say those words.
But he insinuated it.
2-5.
I know, but that's a whole lot different than what he actually said.
2-5. But also, it's impact versus intent, right?
Right.
Impact versus intent. The way you intended something may not be the way that it impacts people. It may not be the way people receive it. You're not in charge of how people receive the words that you say, but you are in charge of the words that you say. Hey, you have to be mindful of those things.
I mean, it's a fact though.
Right.
I mean, you know, he's just as ridiculous as Tank.
Yeah, I was gonna say, so do we retire? Really do we really think Tank Davis is gonna retire?
After the Jake Paul fight, 100%. Because Tank, he lost. That's the thing. He lost. And he doesn't want to lose.
If Tank decides to retire, if he follows through with retiring after this fight, it will be he will have the lamest great in a boxing career of all time.
How old do y'all think Tank is?
29?
He'll be 31 in November.
Okay, I'm about to say he's young, ain't he? Yeah.
He will have the worst career of an undefeated boxer of all time.
That's the problem, though.
I think he'll retire, but I think he'll come back.
But we don't want you to come back because you're missing out on your prime, and it's not for a major reason. It ain't like you going to jail or you got hurt or you got suspended. You're just leaving for no reason.
I never want to see you again. If you retire, if you do this Jake Paul fight.
I hope Jake Paul knocks him the fuck out.
Why are you like this?
Like,
go ahead.
I just. Boxing is dying.
Well, technically, it's dead.
It's dead, but there's still, like, you had the Terrence Crawford and Canelo fight, which still brought him out. You actually had the Mike Tyson, Jake Paul fight, which, though that actual fight was terrible, there were a bunch of really good fights on that card.
There were.
There are Toronto and Taylor.
On that card. Yes.
Nah, that female fight was
up. I'm saying, like, boxing has a chance, but boxing is dying, and the greats in boxing are why boxing is dying.
Correct.
It's the ducking of each other. Like you tell us that Shakur Stevenson isn't ready to fight you yet. So So, but you think Jake Paul is?
It's about money at this point. And so, it ain't like you don't get paid. That's why it's annoying. Because you're fighting for money that you can get on a real fight. Yeah. It's just like, and we know what it is. Bro, have you seen Jake Paul? He's 6'1", 6'2". And he's about to fight a dude that's 5'5", that weighs 114 pounds.
Yeah, I can't respect that.
Yeah, so let me switch this around a little bit. So if, let's say Jake Paul does win this fight, don't have to be knockout, but he just wins the fight legit, we watch it. Where does he go from here? Because this is his first time really fighting, I guess, an upper echelon fighter.
Yeah, he fought Fury's. He fought Fury's brother.
I said upper echelon, though. Like, Fury's brother is upper echelon.
This will be the first real fight. And I ain't going to lie. I watched that Fury fight. I thought he won that fight, personally. But, yeah, this will be his.
Do you think that he, at some point, tries to, I guess, become a legit boxer?
He wants to be a real fighter. I do think that, for real. I think he legitimately wants to be a real fighter. And I think he's fighting other people. Because everybody said that it was a gimmick. So he's getting the MMA fighters and stuff. So you can see, like, no, I'm really trying to fight. The problem is he has to, from here, he needs to go to a boxing route. You know what I mean? Like, you really need to go fight in the league instead of doing these prize fights. My whole thing with the Tank thing is, we know how boxing works. You're literally fighting a heavyweight or light heavyweight, however you want to look at it. This is a stupid fight. We know you're doing it for money, and we know that y'all are planning to give us a show. You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing here?
So, I'm gonna say this real quick, you know, before we leave boxing. But I saw yesterday that the one and only Manny Pacquiao said that he is in contract talks to fight Romelo. Do we want to see Manny Pacquiao anymore?
No. I want to see Manny Pacquiao as a politician in the Philippines.
Manny Pacquiao as a Christian contemporary artist.
I think I want to see Manny Pacquiao Floyd too.
If Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather fought in my living room, I'd stay upstairs.
I ain't gonna lie. If Floyd fights, I'm watching.
Allegedly Floyd and Mike Tyson going to be fighting in March.
They are.
And that's the thing. If Floyd is fighting,
you know what will piss me off? Can I be honest?
What?
If Mike Tyson gets in a fight with Floyd Mayweather and starts throwing hands, I'm going to be so mad.
Well, you know why he didn't do it with Jake.
I know exactly why he didn't do it with Jake.
Come on. We all know.
Why would he do it with Floyd? Let me in here.
That's my point.
And Mike are real boxers.
You're gonna go in the ring with Floyd, and now you're gonna throw hands, and then you had Jake Paul. He could have knocked Jake Paul out the one time he actually threw a punch. He could have knocked him out like the one time, and then he started.
Right.
I'm biting my gloves. I'm so nervous
because he had to get paid.
He looked like he was swinging on Roy a little bit.
Oh no, him and Roy was fighting. He was beating up Roy. They had it in their claws. No headshots. They had it in their claws because if you watch the fight, like,
I would have
beat the dog out of Floyd. Roy. It was bad.
I wanted Roy and Floyd. That's what I really wanted. But anyway, Roy and Floyd. Yeah,
and Floyd.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Back in the day, though.
One of these days, we're going to talk about actual boxing. It's going to be great. Okay, go ahead.
You know what I'm saying? So, of course, it's tomorrow's Friday. So you know what that means. Another football weekend is upon us. I want to know from you guys. I don't even know what just happened.
Brad's over here eating fries.
I'm sorry.
Like, we're not in production.
I'm so hungry. I'm sorry.
So what games are you guys looking forward to this weekend?
Who the Eagles got?
They got the Broncos.
You know what I'm saying? It's bow time. You know how I feel about Bo Nix. I think he's a good quarterback. I like the Broncos in general. I think they're dope. However, it's time to get that five. You know what I'm saying? It's time to get that five.
What is the five?
If we're being honest, I had the Broncos and the Bucks as two teams that we could lose to. Last game that the Broncos had, they looked really good. However, we know why. So – I'm going to go off the first two games that they had and say that we beat them. However, I need the Eagles. I need our offensive line. I mean, line, crazy. I need our offensive coordinator to figure out that we have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Like, I need him to figure it out.
I'm
like,
picking the Broncos.
That's fair. I'm not mad at that.
Against the Eagles?
Yes.
I don't have the Eagles losing yet.
Well, all I remember is Jalen Hurts going 0 for 8 in the second half. Devontae and A.J. Brown combining for the whole game, 4 catches, 36 yards. And you got the defensive player of the year coming in. You know what I mean? And the Broncos don't need to score a lot to beat Philly.
Hey, too far. Did you watch that Eagles game?
I did, unfortunately. It was one of the worst games of the season so far.
Oh, word?
Word.
The first half?
No, this ain't Commander talking. This is just
the first half was good,
but there's two halves to a game.
There are two halves to a game, but to say it's one of the worst games of the season is crazy.
Yeah, like the Eagles are literally load managing in game, which is cool because you're good enough to do that, but I'm just saying.
I think if it works, it's worth it. All right, so
all right, you got another game. What other games are you looking forward to?
So we got some bad games this week. I think the game of this week's probably Patriots Bills.
Not the Monday night game, huh?
Hey, you think the Bills? I mean, you think the Patriots are going to put up a fight
game in like 5 years?
Hey, Kansas City and Jacksonville sounds good to me.
The Wars. I think that could be a good game. But I think the game of the weekend is going to be Patriots Bills.
Really.
And I'm gonna take the Pats to win.
Ooh. Big talk.
Okay. I don't think Patriots Bills is game of the week. I think game of the week is honestly, this just sounds so biased. That's crazy.
No, it has to be Philly and
I think the game of the week is Philly and Broncos, but it has to be.
Patriots Bills is AFC East matchup. You know what I mean? Like I think that's gonna be a good game. I think you always play, you know, each other tough within division. And I think that the Pats are starting to build. They're really starting to build momentum. Vrabel is working his magic, and Vrabel like wants to show he wants a stamp win, and this could be a stamp win for him.
So that is true.
I like that.
Oh, go ahead, Tufa. My bad.
Now I was just gonna say I think my game of the week, you know, as far as like on the field how it will play out, I think I like Tampa and Seattle.
I like two
upstarts, you know. Tampa does have the injuries, you know, Mike Evans and everything like that. But, you know, but Baker has obviously been
– I think Baker's hurt too. Like,
yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. You know, but he's going to go. I also like, not to be biased, you know, Jaden Daniels is coming back. You know what I'm saying? So I would like to see him up against the Chargers defense, not necessarily the Chargers offense against my defense, but – the sneaky good game of the week, and this is the part where y'all don't judge me.
We never judge you.
The sneaky good game of the week might be one of either Dallas and the Jets, as far as if you're into a whole lot of points being scored, you know, or Miami and Carolina could be a good game sneakily that people don't want to watch.
I think a cool concept game is the Lions versus the Tigers.
Yeah, until you watch the scoreboard light up.
the Lions are definitely going to kill the Bengals, but I think it's a dope concept, you know, Lions versus Tigers. If Joe Burrow was there, like that would be a dope game.
So we talked NFL. What do you think what are the college games this weekend?
I'm here for Vanderbilt going down to Alabama. I never thought I would live to see College Game Day go to a game featuring Vanderbilt, even though Vanderbilt is 1-17 all time in Tuscaloosa, 1-61 all time against AP top 10 teams on the road. But
did you say 1-61?
1-61, yes. But they beat Alabama last year, you know, held the ball for 42 minutes and only won by 5 points. So that's definitely excited. Right? And then you know, I've been talking about it. I haven't said it on this pod yet, so let me introduce y'all. This is Bubble Guts Week.
Uh-oh.
You know, uh-oh. Miami and Florida State. You know.
I know about Miami. Shout out to Five.
I'm old enough to, you know, watch Wide Right 1, and I'm nervous every single year. Miami could be 0-6. We could be 6-0, And I'm still scared every time we play them. But the game of all games, I think, this weekend, just from like storyline purposes, is, you know, the Gators are trying to fight to keep their coach. But they got Arch coming in. And Arch Manning, yes. And Arch has the chance to do one of the few things that Peyton didn't do.
Win a national championship.
Beat Florida.
Oh.
Peyton Manning went 0-4 against the Gators in his college career. So Arch has to Eli beat him.
Did he play them like two times in a year, or was it just one?
No, no. He started as a freshman.
Oh, okay.
So he just played them all 4 years.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, I don't know shit about college.
Yeah, but Eli beat – see what I'm saying? Like, Eli beat him. So, you know, just saying. So is Arch more Eli or is he more Peyton? Just, you know. But anyway, who's you know.
Don't you think he's sweet, though?
Anyway, you I know mean, what I'm saying? Start, as we sit, go forward.
Start, sit, you know, cut.
Let me
Arch Peyton Arch, Eli. Eli.
So let me let y'all in on a secret. We talk about sports, you know, we talk about music, but what y'all didn't know is that we are three big wrestling fans.
Two and a half.
Know, wrestling is our bag. You know, Rez brought wrestling back.
I brought it back, man. Single-handedly.
You know what I'm saying? And Jack.
Single-handedly.
Jack handles all the yeeting. So what's going on in the wrestling world, Jack?
Hold on. Let me go ahead and get him a little dose real quick. Just in case they didn't know.
What you got?
What?
Get a little dose.
Why are you like this?
I'm a red-blooded man. I love wrestling, dog.
He's a red-blooded man. That's why.
Give him a little dose, man. A little dose. You know what I'm saying? We got belts. I got another championship in the closet, too. But, yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to wrestling, man. You know what I mean? Like, everybody knows, you know, I go to the shows. 2-5 is going to AEW.
Without you know,
he didn't invite me because he don't really rock me. It's cool.
They're not really friends.
But a few things, you know, let's talk about this Raw. Raw and SmackDown updates, you know what I'm saying? 2-5, how you feeling about Raw? Rez, did you watch this week's Raw?
I watched some of this week's Raw. I saw the beginning and I saw the end.
He saw EO, and that was it.
So this is what I'm going to say about wrestling, about Raw. One, okay, I get it. There are foreigners. There are people that don't speak English well. But wrestling, Triple H, TKO, why do we keep giving them microphones? Why can't they just come in and wrestle? Why is Io Sky acting? Why do we need this?
You mean when she was crying?
Why do we need this?
I ain't even gonna lie. I thought I was gonna be the one to bring this up.
I love Io Sky. Io Sky, so and again, full transparency, she's my favorite. I love Io Sky. But
and it's not just her. It's Stephanie Baker too. La Primera.
They're just giving them the micro. Stop giving wrestling great is wrestlers.
My life.
My father.
You know what she sound like? She sound like when Kane used to use the thing.
Undertaker.
But remember, I told y'all that's what chased me off of wrestling before. Is that like people started talking? No, not the foreigners. That's hysterical.
There it is. No, it is.
That's the one. People started talking so much. And I'm like, why is there so much talking in wrestling? Io Sky is an amazing wrestler. Stephanie Vaquero is an amazing wrestler. Rhea Ripley is an amazing wrestler. Rhea is actually much better on microphone than any other people that I mentioned.
And she's a woman.
And she's a woman, Toya.
Yeah, mommy's always on top. Yeet.
Thank you.
Why are you like
so
this?
Anyway? But so that's my. And then the end, I saw that Roman Reigns came out and defended Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso, more so Jey than Jimmy, in the final match. So that's what I saw.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you saw Jimmy in the corner staring at them.
Yeah, he's staring.
Big mad.
Because, you know, a couple weeks ago, it was about 3 weeks ago, you know, Jay was talking to him and he told him, he was like, oh, you sound like Roman right now. So, and it took me back to the Bloodline story because, you know, Roman used to always say, like, little Jay, this is for you. You're the next tribal chief. And now we're starting to see that long, you know, that slow long burn.
The best part of wrestling is when they actually do the long story, you know?
Yeah. And you know, so now, you know, because before Jimmy screwed Jay over, turned on him, and aligned with Roman. And now we're seeing the reverse dynamic.
Because remember, he told him, if you win that, you're going to be like him.
I know. And you know, but my guy, LA Knight, you know what I mean, is...
Let me talk to you.
Yeah, he's Jay's enemy right now, you know. And I like where that's going because, you know, they're both kind of... good guys, but like Jay's starting to kind of edge a little bit. LA Knight is like that tweener where he's got that stone cold. I'm a good guy, but
he's starting to edge
I'm swagged out, and you know.
I think that they take that. I think if they do it right, I think if they do it the right way,
starting to edge a little bit.
I think what they could do is they could do it either way. They could do it where, you know, I know Brock Lesnar's gonna have a goofy ass run somewhere, but. What they could do is they could have LA Knight take the title from Seth, and then Jay could take the title from LA Knight, and then that'll finish their beef. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can you explain something to me?
Yeah.
What is the Crown Jewel?
It's a pay-per-view that they made up so that you can
in
get
Saudi Arabia. Yeah.
So you can get two champions to fight in Saudi Arabia because Saudi Arabia.
Oh, so that's everything. How that works.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just champion fight. It's
champions. It's a few years old. Here's a question. Maybe. Here's a question. What wrestler makes you instantly turn the channel?
Oh. Easy.
You know mine. As soon as that damn Rusev or Sheamus show up on the screen. And for some reason, they went a six-week cycle where they had to have Rusev fight Sheamus just to spite me weekly. Now it's just Rusev every week. What do Triple H, TK, what does he have on y'all? What does this man have on y'all?
Hey, he got a title shot. Got a title shot.
Oh my god, he's the worst.
Who is it for you, Jack?
I turn off the anybody.
Oh, Cody Rhodes too.
Any tag team, Rusev.
If that dude pops up, I'm out. I am out.
On SmackDown, you gonna get all the tag matches, and it's all right, cool, whatever. On Raw, everybody gets jumped.
Yeah, for me, it's definitely Cody, definitely Randy, or as I like to call him, Blandy Borton. And I would say Becky Lynch for sure. Like, as soon as I see her, as soon as I hear her, dinner is coming up.
That's another one. Yeah, that's another one.
It's tough, too, because I used to really like Becky Lynch, bro.
Yeah.
I
was
legit a fan of Becky Lynch.
Oh, and Charlotte.
Nah.
You don't like Charlotte?
I like Charlotte. Yeah, her and her, what's her name? Alexa Bliss.
Alexa Bliss. I like Charlotte the City. About it. Oh, you know what I'm saying? But okay, real quick, let's reverse this real quick. Who is the person besides Roman Reigns? Who's the person that they come on TV and you just there?
Io Sky.
Besides Jey Uso.
Io Sky. If Io Sky is wrestling, I'm watching. She's an amazing wrestler. I don't ever want to hear her voice again.
If Rhea Ripley is wrestling, I'm watching.
If Rhea's watching fighting, I'm going to try to watch.
Who else?
I think it's Io for me as well.
Penta.
Penta is
okay. Cero Mierdo.
I like Penta.
Well, for me, it's Io, La Primera.
Yeah, you got to get that
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My guy, then, Trick Williams.
Trick Williams, you know who's going to be the next
rock. I don't watch NXT, so.
He's going to be the next guy to lead wrestling into the next, you know, the next era, if you will.
on NXT is that Linky guy. Who's the Linky black guy?
The dude that fought Sami Zayn.
Oh, Javon Evans.
I love him.
Yo, yeah, buddy. Him.
He's dope. And then,
oh, y'all talking about NXT, you know, like, hey, Oba Femi.
Way to go, bro. I like him.
No, no, I was just going to bring up that he finally took his first loss. That's what I was going to bring up.
Okay.
Who, Oba?
He just lost his title to Ricky Saints. For you AEW people out there, he was known as Ricky Starks.
Mm. Do you think that Oba is coming to the main roster now?
I think he's going to answer one of the U.S. challenges and destroy Sammy.
Yo, okay. Is Booker T training all the black guys?
It seems like it.
Because they're all doing old Harlem Heat moves.
I know. Trick be doing like the...
Yeah, he do that. Know, and he does the spinny kick.
The spinny root, the spinner Rooney. Yeah.
Yeah, he does that.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. But as we transition forward, this is one of my favorite parts of the show. What happened this week on the Joe Budden podcast?
Joe Budden podcast.
What you got?
So I got the first question. First and foremost, the most important thing is, where is Mel?
Where is Mel?
Where? Yeah. Well, she was on the, that red carpet for something.
Some journalist.
She said, I'm supposed to be here. This is where doing I really what? Belong.
Doing what?
Because when they remember, so on that interview, it's awkward because she was like, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is my place. And then the girl was like, well, if you can give some motivational words, what would they be? She's, you got the, use what you got to get what you want. Like
be in the place that you are and be the person that you are in the places that you are. And when the places that you are appreciate the person that you are, you become.
You know what that reminds me of? That reminded me of something like a Jesse Jackson or something like, we had a revelation of the organization, of the dedication, of the of the propagation.
So the problem is this, right? So Mel has been gone. It's been well over a month that Mel's been gone. It might be two months now that Mel's been gone from the. We're talking about.
I don't think we've hit 2 months yet.
For those who don't know, we're talking about Melissa Ford, who is a co-host of the Joe Budden podcast.
Jessica Rabbit.
She's been gone for a little while.
I don't
know
anybody who knew her as Jessica Rabbit.
I did not know. When was she Jessica Rabbit?
In the R. Kelly video.
What R. Kelly video?
That's all I'm going to say right now. Y'all keep talking.
Okay. Okay, whoa.
Why are you like this?
I'm a red-blooded man.
Anyway, but the problem with Mel is this, right? So it's been a while, like, that Mel came into the pod, and from the first episode, from the way she showed up that first episode when she was just a guest when they were just in Parks' basement, you thought you were going to get a Mel Ford that was coming to be an active part of the pod. She was going to bring stories from her time as being a video vixen. She was going to be salacious. She was going to be, you know, flirtatious. And she came in and she wore clothes that looked like she was like heading to the grocery store. And she didn't seem like really interested in being an active part of it. And she played the victim every episode. And she lied
a lot.
She lied a lot. And I say that as somebody, like, I tried to fight, like defend, like, oh, no, maybe. Because I think Mel's actually really intelligent. This is the part that bothers me. I think the part that bothers Joe as well. Mel is actually really smart, and she has a lot to contribute. It's just that she doesn't seem to understand when is an appropriate time to bring in certain topics. Like, you know, like, men don't want to talk about perimenopause. Like, that's not a thing that dudes is trying to talk about, you know, and stuff like that. But she would, like, try to find a way to interject that stuff, and she tried to build her own platform, which I can understand. Build your own platform. You want to make sure you can do for yourself. But you can't build your platform on the back of somebody else. That's not right, especially when they already have a way that they do things there. So she started to feel, you know, like they were dogpiling on her. She wasn't getting, you know, she wasn't getting fair treatment. And now she's been gone for quite some time, and nobody knows who she is. And they brought in Mona, which we'll get into next. But all of that says to me that I don't think she's going to be around long. I think that this may have started out probably as some kind of suspension based on some stuff that happened. Because the last time we saw her in the pod, she did walk off because she was angry about something that was going on.
Did they ever confirm what she was mad about?
It happened during the episode. Like, it was something about you. Like, if you don't want me to, if you're not gonna let me talk, then I'm not gonna talk at all. And then she like walked off.
No. Yeah, she is. She is big on being a victim, and I think, and I do think, there's a big issue with Mona, because Mona's funny.
Mona's mad funny.
And if y'all don't know who Mona is, she goes by "Don't Call Me White Girl" previously, before she started going by her regular name. But yeah, she used to be "Don't Call Me White Girl." For all the people that use TikTok, she the one that made the "Meet the Meat." This is what you doing to me. I can't. You said we getting married.
You being weird to me. I'm being weird. You being weird to
you
me.
You being weird. That's how we get down, Tony. But yeah.
Mona's growing on me the first time, because I'm not very familiar with her. So,
okay.
So that first Saturday that she was on the JBP, I was like, yo, this is female Flip. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I got, the energy that I got from her. And I think she was probably just trying to feel her way. You know, it was her first day or whatever. So the last pod I heard her on last Saturday was definitely like a million times better. You know, I like her voice.
You can tell she's real nice too.
Yeah. She seems real nice, but she's got like that, like, hey, what's up, yo? Like she wanted to hold these voices, but you know what I'm saying? But she's still feminine enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That she doesn't overbear you with, like, you don't feel like she's one of the guys, but not a guy.
Right.
Yeah. For sure.
You know what I like about her? I like that she doesn't run. She's when the smoke comes, she's here for the smoke. So, like, whereas Mel would, like, jump into, like, her feelings bag, like, Mona's like, nah, like, especially the first episode, like, when she told Flip, like, are you my supervisor? Like, why do you keep moving my microphone? Are you my supervisor? Am I supposed to be listening to you? Do you tell me what to do? Like, I love that she did that. I love that she pushed back. I love that, you know, even she called Joe. I was like, hey, you said you had a song for me, and I asked you for the song. You're like, F you. I don't got no song for you. Like, I like that she fights back. She's the girl that hangs out with the dudes crew and can fit and can go.
But you can tell she hangs out with the dudes.
Yeah.
She knows how to be a homie.
Yeah,
she, right.
Melissa Ford doesn't know how to hang out with men without men
who want to have sex with her.
That's
right.
It.
Yeah,
that's right. The difference between, like,
yep.
That's a conversation in itself about girls.
That
girls don't understand that. Like,
Jessica
we
Rabbit.
Know when you're the homegirl, and we know when you're just.
I'm a red blooded man.
Attention.
This red blooded man here. Oh, we got a decent man on the board, dog.
I know you got to get that on there.
Yeah, but no, for like I think that point you just made, Jack. It just hit me when you said that. She definitely is the chick that's been around. She's been around the dudes. She used to dudes being around and like not being the chick that all the dudes are trying to hit. Like they were like, yo, hey, we going out? You calling Mona? Like that kind of thing. Like she's that
right.
Chick.
Mm-hmm. An actual homegirl. And the girls that know. And the girls that don't, well.
Right. So can I ask y'all a personal question?
Always.
What?
Would you find it disrespectful if your girl decided or your wife decided to go to therapy?
No.
No, I wouldn't. And I think that Young Thug is a weirdo for saying that. Like, I just.
Being I don't know.
It was weird. He said he doesn't feel like the man of his house, if his girl has to go and clear her thoughts with somebody else, what kind of man is he where his woman can't talk to him and get the guidance from him? Sounds hyper controlling and really insecure. And that was the part of the episode that made me realize I don't hate Flip that much. Cause Flip was like, I totally disagree. He said, I think therapy is a safe space. It's a way for me to say things without niggas holding it over my head.
Yeah.
It's a way for me to get this real trauma out, and I ain't got to worry about you trying to throw it in my face later on, yada, 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 which I totally agree with. You know what I'm saying? Everybody don't need to know your business, and sometimes you do need to talk to somebody who doesn't know you so you can get a real conversation out and really hash that out and then move past it.
Yeah, I don't want my homie to throw nothing in my face.
Why you like this?
No, that's real though. You know, therapy therapy does so much, you know what I mean? And it's not even always about, you know, getting advice or, you know, someone trying to dissect your issue. Sometimes you just want to be heard.
Yeah.
And maybe you feel like you can't be heard, you know. But I would also offer that I think people question what kind of man Young Thug is for other reasons.
It's true. So I've been married, again, I'm probably going to say this every pod, at least twice a pod. Been married 18 years with my wife for 20 years. And if my wife told me that she felt the need to go to therapy, I definitely wouldn't feel like it was some kind of affront to my manhood or anything like that. I think in the Black community specifically, we're way too we shun therapy, we shun taking care of your mental health in a way that's really unhealthy. And anytime, you know, if my wife needed, felt like she had something she needed to get off and I wasn't a safe space for it, I think I would, that's one thing I'd ask myself is why, you know, have I created a space where my wife could talk to me and tell me the things that she needed to say, or have I made her feel like she needs that? Also, it's a possibility that, you know, there's stuff that she's dealing with that she's not, you know, she doesn't feel comfortable sharing. And so you need that, objective, you know, third person that could maybe hear you out. You know, I know several people whose ladies are going to therapy, and it's very important. It actually may be some of the things that's saving your relationship, and maybe why your girl hasn't left you yet, because she has a therapist that she can, you know, run some of the stuff by. Maybe some of the things that she's doing, she thought she was doing it the right way, and then she realized after talking to her therapist that it was a very unhealthy way of doing things. I'm never against anything that is for that helps my wife or helps my woman, you know, to be the best version of herself. And that's what therapy is really there to do, is to help you think through your stuff, and to help you to really overcome some of the stuff that you're dealing with. So I don't understand why Young Thug would have a problem with it, but this is also the same guy that doesn't understand why somebody would want to not do crime or want to turn their life away from crime. So
Right. Wasn't he the one with the album?
Yeah,
he just one. Oh, I am a
yeah, so yeah, there I am questioning what kind of man he is again. You know what I mean?
So, you know what he's doing. He's doing the antics thing, but yeah. I don't want to talk about Young Thug. I just think that was crazy.
We don't got to talk about Young Thug, but what we should do is get to the bottom of what is NBA Youngboy.
What is NBA Youngboy?
NBA Youngboy is ass. that's what it is. Ass music for ass ears from ass niggas. This shit is trash. That's what he sounds like when he raps. However,
but why is he popular?
He's popular because young people gravitate towards violence, and he's one of those guys who, like King Von, is about that life. So they gravitate to it because they think it's fire. He also is probably the highest selling YouTube artist ever. He did it independent, and the man is like legit. If you look at his numbers, it's kind of insane, because I have only heard like two songs from NBA Youngboy, but this dude's numbers are like literally insane. It's kind of crazy.
I've heard NBA Youngboy song, and it was during karaoke at my house, and every kid in my house knew the song.
I've had more than three people tell me that he's the new Tupac.
Apparently, that's an NBA Youngboy song that my son is mumbling as he walks across the house.
Yeah, but apparently he's the new Tupac.
Huh?
That's what I've been told by like more than three people. I've heard that he's the Tupac of this generation.
All right, that's
cool. Have those people heard of Tupac?
Nah. Okay. Nah. You know what? I don't even like Tupac, but we're not doing that.
Like Tupac?
You know damn well I don't like Tupac.
I did not know that. I thought you was just trolling.
I feel more.
Rez knows I ain't trolling.
Oh, I know. No, for sure. I definitely know you're not trolling.
You know what, Jack? I ain't mad at you.
Why are you like this?
Why don't you pour some
Hennessy out for the enemies?
No, you don't even want to get me started on Tupac
for
right
the
now.
Enemies.
Like,
in a bed, sweetie.
Rez has heard my Tupac, Allen Iverson, Michael Vick conversation.
Hey, since you brought it up, this is the first time on the pod. Go ahead and let them know. You got it.
All of them are the most overrated people in their fields. You know what I mean? They are great. You know what I'm saying? They do great things. They have great skills, you know, but we love them because of who they are. So that makes us overinflate what they are, you know? So like Allen Iverson was the first basketball player or athlete that I really remember that like was for real. I'm from the hood. Like, I'm one of y'all. And it was real relatable. And, you know, he would go out there, shoot 7 for 30, and then score 35 points somehow because of free throws.
I let the first part go. I was here for you. I was supporting you. What we're not going to do is say he shot.
No. Keep going. Hey.
He might go 7 for 21. He wouldn't go 7 for 30. I don't think he has any 7 for 30.
30 for 30.
All right. Anyway, he does have a season at like 38% or something like that.
I don't think he ever went 7 for 30, bro.
So Michael Vick.
That's crazy. 12%.
So Michael Vick. You know, he took that Randall Cunningham blueprint and evolved it because of how quick he was and the moves that he would make with the football. You know, so it was real highlight catching, you know, eye grabbing. He was from the hood as well, you know, and then he wouldn't make the playoffs. Like, he just couldn't win in back-to-back years. And then all of a sudden, he got all this money, $100 million. He blew it. Got $100 million more. So dudes were like, yo, Michael Vick, the man. No, he is not the man. He is a man. He's not the man.
Hey, and hold up. Don't act like he didn't go to an NFC championship. Don't do that. Give him a little bit.
I'll even give
AI a little bit of sprinkle. He beat the one dominant Lakers team that was never supposed to lose single-handedly. Yeah. I got to give him that, if nothing else.
He did that, but that year that they made the finals, they had to win three series to get to the finals. He won three series the rest of his career.
So,
you know what I'm saying? But anyway, Tupac, you know, great poet, great speaker, you know, guy that motivates you. You know, you listen to him, and, you know, if you're just talking about some straight up activists and, like, you know, all that kind of stuff, mobilize the community, that's your guy. You know what I'm saying? But it's only so many times you could rhyme Hennessy with enemy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's only so many times, you know, you can just simp out and then try to be the hardest dude in the world while getting slapped around in the streets.
Yes.
But he's great. I'm not trying to take away from his greatness. But is he a top five, you know, for real rapper? Like, impact-wise? Absolutely. Absolutely impact-wise. But just talking about what a rapper is supposed to do with words and, you know, all that other stuff.
We talking about lyrical ability, flow. Metaphors, similes. Flow, yeah, Tupac has his own flow. So
That's what I'm saying.
He got flow. But lyrical ability, wordplay, metaphors, similes, he ain't got none of that shit.
Yo, that Dave Chappelle song he made might be, like, up there with the best Tupac songs. But we can get off of wrote. That. We can get the off of that.
94
and 94.
You know what I'm saying? But no,
I do.
Don't get it conflicted. I do like Pac. I do like him. I just try to not be biased. And then I like Allen Iverson. I love Allen Iverson. I even got his jersey in my closet. But I'm, you know, trying not to be.
Don't try in your closet. You
Michael Vick. But Michael Vick, get all the way out of here with him. Okay. Just go.
Don't like Allen Iverson now.
Hey, hold up. Pause. Hold up. What you're not gonna do is just get all the way out of here like he wasn't one white man Tom Brady vote away from being MVP of the league. Calm the fuck down, sir.
Hey,
put some respect on Vic.
Hey.
He came back after all that bullshit. They tried to put his ass away, and he came back, did what he had to do. Nah, we're not gonna do that.
He showed more intensity with those dogs than he did on the field.
Why are you like this?
The thoughts of Mike Wilson, a.k.a. 2-5, are not necessarily the views of Rayjean Lewis or Radical Jack. We are not the same. We are very different. Thank you.
But okay. We can get off of that. What is maturity, and when do you stop saying I was raised like that?
Wow. All right. Okay. All right. Who want to take it?
Well, I'd say that. You gotta shed that. That whole "I was raised that way" thing. You gotta shed that at 30, big dog. You gotta shed that at 30. I'll give you 1 to 29. You can be, man. My mama raised me like this. Me and my family, we like this. At 30, you are your own man. It is time for you to really start figuring it out. You know what I'm saying? And when you hit 36. That is officially your 18th birthday as an adult. So when you 36, you damn sure shouldn't be talking about I was raised this way, because you've had 18 years as an adult to figure out who you are. So I definitely think that that 30, 35, 36 meter, like you should not be any more of, oh, well, my family and this is just how I am. This is how I am is crazy. You can't blame the way you were raised on you being a dickhead when you 35.
Yeah.
you can't. Oh yeah, I'm like this because my dad was like, you were 35 years old, dog. Your parents raising you ain't got shit doing nothing. You are a whole adult who makes your own decisions. Hopefully controlling the family and raising the family. So you should not be thinking like, well, I can't do this because mom wouldn't approve. Like,
right. You got your life.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, it's something we definitely, you know, see way too far, too much, you know, in our community. But we also have to think about the fact that, you know, there's a lot of things that run, you know, a lot of negative aspects, you know, that sort of come up with that are sort of recurring themes. You got generations that are, you know, people that are generations deep in, you know, living in the PJs or, you know, not living in the most, you know, most, you know, conducive for success situations and circumstances. And, you know, if you live a certain way, a certain amount of time, you can become institutionalized mentally. But I think that they're really attributing it, you know, to something because they don't really understand it. Right. So, yeah, I was raised in the projects, so I act like I'm in the projects. But the truth is you never left the projects. So as long as you're in the projects, you'll be of the projects. And like, but if you leave the projects and, you know, like I think about the fact that I grew up in the hood. You know what I mean? You know, I grew up in a little trailer park on Dorchester Road. Off east, you know, east on West Montague, you know what I mean, called Trailmore. But the thing that I've always said was, I'm not my surroundings. Like, you know, there's some beautiful people in those surroundings that have done some amazing things that came out of it. I think about my homeboy Juice that, you know, he lives in Saudi Arabia. He lived in Saudi Arabia for like 10 years. You know what I mean? People have done some amazing things. I also know a lot of people got like shot, went to jail, got arrested. Like me and Juice are, I think me, Juice, my brother Jay are the only ones that haven't spent like significant time in jail. Like I think about that stuff, but when I changed my mind, I was able to change my life and able to do better for my family. And sometimes you got to get out of it, but some people can't get out of it. And it might be that they can't get out of it because of their mind is, yeah, this is what I was raised, so this is what I was born to do. Back to that, talking about Tupac, talking about NBA YoungBoy, talking about the aggrandizement of. This like thug culture, this street culture, and saying like this is what, you know, we're supposed to be. And the truth is that we're not called to be thugs. We're not called to be criminals. We're not called to be, you know, menaces to society. We're called to be great. We're called to be kings. We're called to be, you know, the leaders. We're called to be doctors, lawyers, engineers, you know, the people, you know, community leaders, people that build the community. And I think that mindset of, oh, well, this is how I built, this is how I was raised, so this is what I'm always going to be, will always be a jail cell that'll keep you no matter whether you're in an actual building or not.
You know, 2.5 is going to give you 2.6. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got until 26. They say the brain is done forming at 25. So I'm going to give you a year of your formed brain to be able to process further.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And from that standpoint, I would even say in a lot of cases, depending on what the thing you're trying to overcome is, probably earlier than that, because you don't have to be 25 or 30 to know certain things are right or certain things are wrong.
Right.
You know, like the way that you treat a woman, for example, you don't have to be 30 to know how to speak to her or how to represent her if she's your woman. Yeah. You know, you shouldn't have to be 30 to figure out stealing and robbing is wrong, or, you know, dealing drugs and those type of things are wrong. So, you know, I think that people use that as a crutch because they don't have the inclination to want to improve.
Yeah.
And they just stay stuck where they are, which makes me think about Ezra Klein, you know, having this conversation with Ta-Nehisi Coates, you know, where they were talking about America, you know, reaction to Charlie Kirk and this type of thing. And it really set me off in a lot of ways, not negative per se, like I was upset, but I'm going to let Rez take the lead on this one because I know he was the one that shared the video with us.
Yeah, so Coates, you know, Coates, Ta-Nehisi Coates is one of my favorite authors. You know, I read everything he's written. I read We Were 8 Years in Power, which is a book about, you know, the Obama presidency and the pluses and minuses thereof. Between the World and Me, which is a letter that he wrote to his son, The Beautiful Struggle, Like the water dancer. Like I've read all of his stuff. He's just an amazing author, and he has a great way with words, a great way of explaining things. And what happened was that Ezra Klein, who I believe writes for either the New York Times or the Atlantic, if you can correct me on that, I'd be great. But he wrote this article about the Charlie Kirk death and the response to it. And Coates wrote a response article to Ezra Klein's article. You know, you got it?
It is the New York Times.
It's the New York Times, yeah. Okay. So he wrote a response article to Ezra's article, pretty much criticizing the way Ezra was dealing with, oh boy, Ezra was dealing with the death of Charlie Kirk. And it wasn't about the fact that he didn't have a problem with the fact that he wasn't upset he felt like the way he dealt with the Charlie Kirk death was whitewashing who Charlie Kirk was. That was the discussion that Coates was trying to have. He was saying, hey, we can't eulogize and change who this person was when they lived because of the way that they died. You know, you can do both things. You can say, hey, it's terrible that this person was killed for saying words that people didn't like. But you can also say that the way he lived and the way that he presented himself while on this earth was abhorrent. And the Coates even went out of his way to say that he was a hate monger. And I would agree. I would say that, you know, on this internet here, is that he was a hate monger. He was not somebody that purported that represented values that once stood for Christianity. A lot of people want to say, oh, well, he was a Christian. And this is something that was a part of the argument, part of the discussion was, yes, he was a Christian. There are many Christians that have done really abhorrent things. Being a Christian father and husband does not in and of itself absolve you from having to deal with the consequences of the words that you said, not meaning the death, because killing people is wrong. You shouldn't kill people for the words that they say. But also understand that if I was killed after saying horrible things, nobody should say, oh, well, let's completely forget the horrible things that he said because he was killed in a bad way. So that was really the discussion.
I like that. That was a good little break off. That was also a good way to break it down. I like that. I will say that we 100% talked about this for about an hour the other day. We did so much good talk. But all I'm going to say is I didn't think the conversation was bad. I thought it was dope the way that two people who didn't agree were able to converse amongst each other. They didn't scream one time.
No.
They didn't belittle one time. Like, there was no subtle disrespect. You know what I'm saying? Nobody was talking in a condescending tone. Yeah. It was dope. I love the way that they exchanged. We do not agree, but we're going to have this conversation and it's still going to be positive. I thought that was dope. Outside of that,
talk your talk, Jack.
Nah, I ain't
gonna
say it.
Nah, Jack.
After everything I just did to Tupac,
I was saying talk your talk. Well, so I'll come back and then I'll we'll come back to you, right? So,
all right, yeah. Gather yourself together, Lorenz.
I got you. Nah, so I will say I have one issue with the discussion. So the issue that Coates had when it came to the whitewashing of Kirk is that Klein was trying to have the discussion as though the history of Kirk didn't matter and the history of African Americans as it pertains to the things that Kirk was saying was like they weren't benign statements, right? And Coates was trying to get him to understand that the issue here is this dude did not believe in our humanity and he was vocal about it. And Kirk was like, I mean, not Kirk, I'm sorry, Klein. I don't want to call Klein Kirk. Klein was saying, well, we have to overlook that because of the way that he died. And we can't look at it from a historical standpoint. It's terrible that a person was killed. Yes, it was terrible that a person was killed. Both and, not either or. We can walk and chew gum at the same time, y'all. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. And that's what Coach was saying. And Klein was acting as though you had to pick one. And he was completely dismissing a lot of the things that Coates was saying. In fact, in most cases, he was doing the thing that, you know, he was talking to, he was listening to respond, not listening to understand. That was the entire conversation. So no, they didn't yell, they didn't scream, they didn't condescend, but he literally was just listening so that he can find a point that he can make, as opposed to trying to find understanding with Coates.
And that was the part that was bothering me, because I've had these conversations with some white men before where they want to understand, you know, why do you feel this way? You know, what is your experience like? They ask those questions. And then when you answer the question or, you know, make your point, they come back with, well, don't you think, like, no, I told you what I think. Like, don't try to soften what I said. I said what I said. Now, if you want to respond directly to what I said, let's continue the conversation. But don't try to change the tenor and point of what I said, because I said it for a reason. And it was just one of those things where every time Coates would make a point, he would just kind of come back with, well, I think that it's not like that now. It's like, look, I said what I said, bro.
The voice. And,
I know, you know, but I just hate that, you know, from conversation standpoint, because it doesn't make me want to continue the conversation or to share with you, because you're not trying to absorb what I'm saying. And I'm not saying that you have to agree with me. I'm not saying that you have to placate me.
Right.
But, you know, saying just hear me out, and then later you can offer, hey, I didn't know that. Just say that. Yeah. I didn't know that, or I didn't realize that. And then we just move on.
Yeah. One night, when I was doing Real Talk with Rajan, I was on live, and there was this guy that popped into my feed. He popped on my video, and actually White Adam put him on to me. He was a Republican. He was a conservative Republican, and I remember I was doing a conversation about Stamped from the Beginning, which is a book written by Ibram X. Kendi that talks about the history of the African history coming from Africa to America, and it really runs from the year 1200 all the way through modern times. And this gentleman came on my pod, and in the live, like, he was like, hey, I want to come on camera. I let him come on camera, and he was like, yeah, I'm completely against what you were saying. And we started this discussion, and I want to say we ended up being on just talking. And I don't remember how many people stuck around for the entire discussion, but he was listening, because everything that I was saying, I try not to speak from my personal experience, because my personal experience is one person out of trillions. I try to speak from a historical perspective. I try to use facts and figures that lets us know another person hurt great. Lets us know that this stuff is cyclical. This stuff didn't happen on accident. This stuff doesn't happen in a vacuum. So the story of history tells us, and he listened. And he didn't try to pick apart what I was saying. He didn't try to sound right. He didn't try to be Mr. Right Man. And I didn't try to be Mr. Left Man. We were just two men having a conversation. And to this day, that Ryan Claymore, if you're watching this, Ryan Claymore, we are tight now. He's still a Republican. He's still a conservative. But we have a space where we can have conversations, and he trusts me to tell him when he's off. That's what we have to get back to as a society. We don't have to be right all the time. There's times when he tells me things. He said, oh, Rez, you need to check this out. You need to read this article. You need to find this. And I'm like, oh, dip, I never thought about it from that standpoint. We have to get out of this standpoint, this mindset that we can't be wrong about anything, and we have to defend our rightness at all costs. We don't. I don't have to be right about anything. If you know something that I don't know that's based in truth, not based in something that you read on TheOnion.com or on Newsmax or on News Nation or on even Fox News or even CNN for that matter, if you have something that's rooted in truth that you want to show me, then let's have a conversation. Let's find middle ground. But the middle ground will never be found at the stake of my humanity, or at the stake of the humanity of people who look, sound, act, and believe like I do. I will never find that middle ground with anyone. So that's the issue at hand there for me. I hope that we can find a way back to one another. I am the further we get away from each other as a country, the more I fear that we are headed towards something that we will never be able to come back from. All empires fall, but empires crumble from within before they ever crumble. And when the people turn against each other, when the American dream, right? And that's what we're talking about. That's what's at stake. In conversations like this, the Charlie Klein thing, that's a symbol, that's a symptom of a much larger disease. Racism is killing our country. Classism is killing our country. Xenophobia is killing our country. We got to do better.
We're too far gone. Go ahead, Jack.
I'm going to just say...
tell us how much you hate the liberals.
For everybody who didn't know, that was politician Rez. He pulled up. We didn't even know he was pulling up. That was so you see how passionate he gets. Like the man really does care though. You know what I'm saying? That's why I rock with him. He does care. You know what I mean? Yeah, man. It's just it sucks. Like I said, bro, I guess I'll make this my hot take instead of the other thing. I don't like men who act like bitches. And I don't know another way to say that. Right? I don't know how to say it. I don't know how else to say it. I don't like dudes that are bitches. Like, I don't like a man that can't be a man. If I don't like you, you know I don't like you. If I don't like somebody, I'm gonna tell you. If I don't like what you're doing or you touch me, I want to put hands on you. I don't want to get on the internet and talk about it. Yeah, I am still 20 years old when I'm mad. And it's not a brag. Like, I don't want to be mad. I like telling jokes. I like laughing. Everybody who knows me, y'all know I am party man. I don't have time to get angry.
Thoughts of Xavier Jackson, a.k.a. Radical Jack, are not necessarily the views of Rajon Lewis or Mike Wilson. Please do not confuse the two. We are not the same. We are very different. Thank you.
All I'm saying is I think that men need to be men, and I feel like we've gone so far away from it. A lot of these bitch-ass tendencies come from fatherless people. You don't have a strong, significant man in your life, and you grow up with bitch-ass tendencies.
Why does it feel like he's talking about somebody specific?
I'm not. You got the phone, right? Everybody got one of these? Everybody, right? Yeah, so the internet is real. So that means you can look up all types of shit. Therapy, why am I like this? What are the symptoms of? How can I heal from? You got ChatGPT. You can make ChatGPT your therapist. Like, literally, you can make it talk to you like a therapist, and you can do that. Either way, I don't like niggas that act like bitches.
Word up.
After all that profound shit that Rez just said,
you know, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, you know. I think that, you know, you're on to something. Maybe not the language per se, but like, I think you're on to something, because nothing makes me more upset than seeing dudes beef on Twitter. And you know what I mean? It's like, especially like if you got my phone number too, or like, you know, like we see each other, you know, we can talk about these things. You don't have to bring in the rest of the world for validation. And what was it? Digital hugs. You know, no, we got some quick hits. You know, is the American dream dying?
Yes. With this economy.
Yes. To a degree. But I believe in, very quickly, Congressman Jim Clyburn always says that the pendulum swings, right? So it swings one way, and then it's going to swing back. And over the course of history, we've seen it happen. But we've also seen that every great empire in the history of the world has fallen. And America is no different. It's susceptible to the same risks and same kind of things as these other empires have been. And if we're not careful, this is what I was talking about earlier, crumbling from the inside, if we're not careful, we're going to lose this great American experiment, and it's going to be too bad because we caused it on ourselves.
I feel that.
Yeah, as a wise man once said, you want it to be one way, but it's the other way.
It's the other way.
You know what I'm saying? That's real. Are either one of you watching the WNBA playoffs?
I watched a game.
I think I watched I watched two WNBA games.
Yeah, I saw Phoenix.
Like the whole Minnesota year?
Yeah.
Now Phoenix, I saw Phoenix, the Phoenix Minnesota game where Phoenix came back from like 20 something points down. I watched that game with Alden Buford, so that was a good game. And I'm definitely going to check out my girl Asia, South Carolina zone. Don't play with
Asia Wilson, named after my daughter. Go get him.
The greatest, quote.
The greatest female basketball player of all time.
Ever. Yeah. I did watch.
Shout out to Maya Moore though.
Oh, for sure.
I mean Maya Moore. Yeah.
Shout out to Candace Parker.
Hey, I met her.
Cheryl Miller.
Yeah, shout out Cheryl Miller. Shout
Lisa
out to
Leslie.
The Don Cheryl Staley. Swoops.
Lisa all right, Miller. We get it. We all Tina know Thompson. WNBA players.
All right, and then
we Cheryl Miller.
Bad Bunny. What do you think of Bad Bunny Super Bowl halftime? What y'all think?
I'm in there. It's a party. I like Bad Bunny. You ain't got to know what he says. The music's
I was
fine.
Like, simpatico.
Simpatico. I think it just reminds me that there are a lot of Americans that don't realize that Puerto Rico is an American territory, and people who are born in Puerto Rico are American citizens. So
let's go, Conejo.
Again, back recurring theme. We don't love America.
We love the idea that we have. We love
the idea of America. Like.
Well, that's why I was going to say the American dream's not dead, because the American dream is being an asshole and getting away with it.
It's crazy.
I don't think that's the American dream, though. We know the American dream. The American dream is big house, picket fence, kids, and a dog.
Well, no, the American dream is that you can build, you can, like, your the way you were born doesn't define your life. You can come here and you can change your life, and you can go from being in poverty. Yeah. We don't have a caste system. You can, you know, go from being impoverished, living in India, and, you know, living in a, you know, a very substandard, you know, lifestyle, to come to America, start your own business and have a home and have a business and move out of that. So that's the American dream. And that is, again, you mentioned the economy, Jack. That's one of the parts that's dying. But the American dream is also that we can come from these different countries, be all these different, have these different backgrounds, come together and be a great people together in this one little, you know, salad bowl. As I said, not melting pot, salad bowl.
Salad bowl, yeah.
Yeah, I got my American dream, you know, from 2-5 to sports writer to King Joffy.
King Joffy. Joe Fur.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, what'd he say? I don't care who you are, Jack.
I'm a red-blooded man.
You know, but yeah, you know, I know real quick, you know, Nafisha Collier, you know, her and Kathy Engelbert having a war right now, you know, allegedly Kathy told her that Caitlin Clark should be on her knees, you know.
Whoa.
Yeah, grateful for the fact that she has the WNBA, because it gives her the platform to make the money and do the things that she does outside of basketball.
Be grateful on her knees is crazy. Like, she didn't have to work hard to become good at basketball.
And she didn't deny that she said it. She just, what her quote was, I don't like the way our conversation was characterized.
Oh, I mean, that's cool.
You said that shit.
If you said that Caitlin Clark should be on her knees,
yeah, that's crazy.
But I will, real quick, I will tell you though, because you know Caitlin Clark took the league by storm last season. You know, Paige Beckers came in this year. You know, but so from last year, you know, during this season, the ratings actually went up. 794,000 viewers was the average this year. You know, and then that number was 21% higher than the full season from last year. That's per Front Office Sports, you know. But since Caitlin Clark got hurt, and this is from USA Today, nationally televised WNBA viewership has gone down 55%.
Wow.
So CC really is the league.
As but you would say, she's really her.
She is really her, but she's not the greatest basketball player on the court.
And oh, yeah, no, of course.
They just did a better job of marketing. I know that white America is not like rushing to see Asia Wilson play basketball, but if you did, oh my gosh, like she's so good.
Like, how many people, how many white people you think still call her Aja?
All of them.
I mean, probably the same ones that still mess up my name, despite the fact that my name is phonemically perfect. If you know phonemic segmentation, my name is really easy to pronounce, but it's like the most difficult thing. Anyway. But she's so good at basketball.
All right, Rosetta.
I wish, Doc, I was a teacher. Doc, I taught fifth grade. I taught fourth grade. I taught how you learn to read. But it's, I mean, it, she's so good at playing basketball. She's good at everything on the court. She can defend. She can shoot. She can shoot threes. She can do everything but dunk. She can do
Can't beat Nafisa one-on-one, though.
She don't got to beat Nafisa one-on-one. She beat Nafisa 5-on-5. That's how they play basketball. 2-5.
Hey.
That's how they do it.
Don't come at me like that. 2-5 is unrivaled.
Last take. Underrated, overrated wrestlers. Give me two. Underrated, overrated.
Jay Uso.
That'll be it.
Overrated. I'll give you another one. Cody Rhodes. Overrated.
Yeah.
Underrated. That black guy that I talked about earlier.
Oh, you know his name, 2-5. What's his name?
It's our Oba?
No, the other one.
Javon something.
Javon Evans.
Javon Evans. Okay. Underrated. And probably AJ Styles, underrated.
Okay. I don't think he's underrated. I think he got old.
Yeah, he's just older, so he's featured.
In modern wrestling, he's underrated.
Yes. He really is. For sure. Because he can still get down.
He can still wrestle. Sure. Yeah.
2-5, you. Underrated, overrated, too.
All right. Underrated. Carmelo Hayes.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? If he was 6'1", he would be a champion right now. You know what I mean? He's one of the best wrestlers on the roster, and he's just not getting that shine. He's stuck with The Miz, even though that could help him long-term, you know, promos and whatnot. Nathan Frazier, you know, from NXT. You know, he was Axiom's partner. One of the best pure wrestlers going right now, but same thing as Carmelo Hayes. He's only like 5'9 or something like that. So, you know, you can't make it in WWE that way. Overrated. John Cena.
For sure. Oh, man. Hold on. Wait.
John Cena.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? He's got cool t-shirts. You know what I'm saying? He's got a cool motion with his hand.
He has the worst finisher. Never mind.
That didn't come out right. You know what I'm saying? But
no, he got a cool motion with his hand. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. He got a good motion with his hand.
That didn't come out right.
Worst finisher since the leg drop.
Yes, worst finisher. You know, he's sloppy half the time, you know, but then this is the one of all ones, though, you know what I'm saying? And now, before I go any further, I do like this person's character.
Oh, he better be disrespectful.
But to pull off the character, you have to be a great wrestler.
Wait, hold on. Wait,
you don't know who I'm about to say. I'm going to surprise both of y'all.
Oh, good. Please surprise us.
Yeah, I'm going to surprise both of y'all. Okay. And you know, I think about Ric Flair, right? Because, you know, he...
Are you saying Ric Flair?
No. Hold on. Keep going. You know what I'm saying? Like, Ric Flair has the character, but the character worked because he was having some of the best matches in the storytelling and the way that he would play off the crowd. Mm-hmm. It played into the character.
Okay.
So right now you got a guy that's playing that chicken shit character, but all of his matches are 3 minutes long because he's limited, and he goes by the name of Dominic Mysterio.
Oh, yes. Oh, whoa. Oh, whoa. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, I love the character. I love the character that he plays. But that's what made Shawn Michaels so great. Because
flag on the play, dog. Dom can wrestle.
That's what made Shawn. No, I'm saying he might Kim, but they don't let him. Like, his matches are 3 minutes long. He cheats for like 60% of the match.
Yeah,
like he doesn't even cheat to win. He just cheats to cheat.
But bro, it's not entertaining is the problem. Like, it's just not like I don't find him entertaining. If he was cheating, like you said, Ric Flair was wrestling, and maybe he'd do something like that was a cheaty move, like down the stretch. This dude walks in the ring just trying to cheat.
He was hitting the dude because he had something loaded in his mask.
And he's overdoing the Eddie Guerrero, I'm a fake, like you hit me with the thing and fall down thing. He's done that like 18 straight matches.
He does overdo his Eddie Guerrero love. I will say that, but Dom is a dope wrestler. But yeah, you're right. I'll give y'all that. He's
but I love the character though. The character is awesome.
I hope he really does love his dad in real life though, because that would tick me off.
I don't know. I always thought Eddie was his dad, to be honest.
He is tall.
Eddie's and he got that mullet too.
Oh. I say my two underrated, not Carmelo Hayes, one of the Street Profits.
Oh, Montel Ford.
Montel Ford.
Oh, that's the other guy.
Absolute star. Should be.
He's next.
He needs to break away from that tag team and get right. Another person I think is underrated. He's actually in a storyline now, but my boy LA Knight. I like LA Knight. You know what I'm saying? But he's getting his comeups now, so you know, it is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Overrated. Undertaker.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Whose man is this?
I'm sorry.
We need whose man's is this in here.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Overrated. Great entrance. Good big man wrestler.
Great finishing move.
Zero mic skills. And before WrestleMania, whatever, I don't even know, but the first like six of his WrestleMania fights are dog water. Anyway.
Wait, you mentioned the Undertaker's WrestleMania matches. Have you seen Jey Uso wrestle?
You watch your mouth.
I don't know if you've seen it. I just don't know if you've seen him.
I mean,
oh, did the Rams score? Never mind. That's just another super kick.
Oh
my God.
That's crazy.
Awful. So, Undertaker, go ahead. What's the next
anyway, one? So the next overrated guy, Triple H. Single-handedly would have been a scrub, a mid-carder, without DX, a.k.a. Shawn Michaels, and without Evolution, a.k.a. Randy Orton, Batista, and Ric Flair carrying him. And then, of course, marrying Stephanie McMahon. Come on, dog. Without that, Triple H is mid as hell. Super mid.
He would have been Paul Levesque, the French. What was his name? The French. Hunter Hearst Helmsley, the French.
He was a French.
French aristocrat. You got to
picture that man named like that.
Paul Levesque.
Levesque. After saying that.
Pepe Le Pew. But anyway, you know what I'm saying?
And Randy Orton.
Which one? Overrated?
Overrated. Blandy Borton.
See, look, he tried to get his three off. I'm going to let him have it. That's cool, man. Bottom line, man. That's 2-5. That's Rez. I'm your boy, Radical Jack, a.k.a. Jackie Reigns, a.k.a. Swaggy J, a.k.a. Do the Damn Thing. As always, we appreciate everyone tuning in, whether it's your first time, your last time, with the Three Guys with a Perspective, hoping to deliver a diverse way of thinking, open dialogue, expand intelligence. Oh, my bad. Always in the mic. Say less. Say more.
Say more.
Till next time.